Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and jump on in. My name is Lisa Mooney. We're here today doing time management and administrative skills. I'm going to go rather light in some areas and delve deeper into some other issues just because there's a lot of issues to cover in this short amount of time. Okay? Just to give you an idea, I am married to my husband Steve. I have four grown young men, ages 26 to 19. I work full-time. I also do part-time ministry and the prayer ministry leader at All Nations Christian Fellowship. I'm also a licensed pastor. I've spent probably 20 years at the Vineyard at Tuttle Crossing, being on staff for their preaching and teaching team. Done the children's ministry director for 6 years, Northwest School District Food Pantry for 6 years. I've done their back office for a number of years. So other than youth group, which I figure I've covered because of four boys, I pretty well have it covered. And as you know, life is a balancing act. And when you have life going on with work and kids and school and everything, it does seem like we have a lot of plates spinning, and we're just trying to keep them from crashing all around us, really. So we know that the struggle is real because we're trying to juggle all of these things. And we lose sight of our vision, we lose sight of our mission, and we lose sight of things because we're so caught up in what we're doing in day-to-day activities. So I wanted to find out, what are you struggling with? Does anybody have, like, any specific area that you're struggling with? Anyone? Yes?
I am struggling with organizing my time because within ministry, there's times when I'm hanging out with students at night, and that's taking away from my family time. And there's times when, so then I'll end up doing personal things during the day, recognizing that I'm spending the evening on the job, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then it just starts feeling like my entire schedule is just kind of very confusing, and mm-hmm. I'm kind of losing track of what's work and what's personal. So
things are bleeding over, yeah. Basically. Okay. Anybody else? No? Okay. So where do you feel like you need help with the most? Is it time management? Is it administrative skills? Is it with priorities? Or is it all of the above? Okay. Half the battle, too, is just knowing even where to start. When you have all of those things going on at once, half of it is knowing where to start. So in order to do that, what we want to do today is give ourselves some clarity. And one of the things that we need to do is reevaluate where our time is going. Like, I just threw some ideas about what people spend their time on. That pie chart will obviously be exclusive to you and how you spend your time. But one of the things, first and foremost, that you need to do is take evaluation of where is all your time going. And one of the ways to do that is to do something similar like this and start listing out every single area, whether it's minor or major, okay? Whether you're spending 8 hours a day at work, whether you're spending 2 hours a day exercising, whether you're spending 10 minutes a day doing a devotion or 30 minutes reading a book, whatever it is, take stock of all the small things, all the little things, all the middle in-between things, and all of the big things. That's the only way you're really going to get a clear picture of everything that you're doing. Now, effective personal management can't happen unless we assume responsibility now for our own lives. And so part of that is actually getting clarity on some of these major issues here. See, we need focus. If we just drift day to day without any clear set of purpose or guides, we basically live our lives based on the pressure that other people put on us, right? Other people's expectation of what they want instead of what we want. And with focus, we can concentrate on what we wish to be and kind of eliminate those things that are not necessary in order to reach our goals. And focus also helps us give us balance, okay? So one of the first things you want to do is check on your values. Now, values are things that you hold dear. So a lot of this material came from a guide management book by Kenneth W. Ooster. And I love the language that he uses it because he dials it down. He makes it simple. We have this KISS, Keep It Simple Sister, right? You don't want to make it really complex. But values are things that you hold dear. Honesty, relationships, integrity, the calling on your life, your relationship with Jesus, right? Then vision is where you would like to be, where you would see yourself someday. Does anybody remember Habakkuk 2:2? What does Habakkuk 2:2 says? Well, right after that, he's asking the Lord for clarity. He's asking the Lord for an answer. So the Lord tells him and says, write the vision. In other words, write what I'm telling you. Write what I'm giving you. Write it down. Make it plain. Put it on tablets. In other words, write it down and put it in front of your face so that you can see it, so that you can absorb it, so you can live it. Then next, we're talking about goals. Goals tell us what we want to accomplish. And then priorities tell us which of those goals are least important and gives order to our actions. So we're going to spend quite a bit of time working on our priorities and learning how to prioritize those goals. Because a lot of times, any kind of organization, they have a vision, right? The pastor puts out a vision for the church. But then there's goals, like how do we plan to accomplish these goals? But even in those goals, those need to be prioritized, right? If you're doing a, let's say, a building plan, one of your goals would be to raise money for the building, right? You wouldn't go ahead and start building without the funds. So there's certain goals in place in a timely manner in order for one step to follow to another step, right? All of these are basically stepping stones. And these stepping stones are designed to be a guide because they're going to direct you ultimately to the path that you want to go to finish the calling, to finish the prize, to finish the goal, to ultimately complete the vision that's out there for you in your life, right? And you're doing this together. You're doing this as a journey, right? So then what we have next is strategy. And strategy is basically taking those priorities, going, okay, now that I have my priorities in order, I need to look at what I have. In other words, I need to take stock of what skills I have, what talents I have, what resources I have. What is the cost? What is the risk? What do I still need, right? You have to have a strategy on these priorities and how you're going to accomplish them. And the next is taking action. This is where a lot of people get stuck because they go through all of this and then they don't start or they don't execute, right? Paul says in 3:14, in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Taking action is taking the first step. No matter how small that step is, it's taking that first step and being motivated to start carrying out what you have learned and put in place. So next we're going to talk about organizing our priorities. Now, our first priority would be the I must do, okay? So what you keep in mind on these I must do things are these are core obligations. In other words, these are foundational things. Nothing else will get done unless the I must do thing is done. Remember we talked about stones and building on stones. This is the very foundational piece. If you don't have your foundation, you can't build the rest of the building. So this has to be done. So when you think of the I must do things, this is also, the non-negotiable thing. Now what I mean by non-negotiable, it's you're committed to it. You believe in it. It's your drive. It also is the thing that doesn't waver. And non-negotiable means that I stand by this value, I stand by this principle, and I must do this, or nothing else gets done, right? So next would be your priority, would be your second priority of I should do. Now, the I should do's build on your foundation. Other people depend on those things that you should do. In other words, you have a role and a piece that you have, but other people may be dependent on you to do that piece before they can do their piece, right? So you have to start thinking, what should I do for this to happen, and then this to happen, and then this to happen, right? A plus B equals C, right? I might have A in place. I might be responsible for B because C depends on it, okay? The I should do's also reinforce your action and your direction. And think about it this way, too. These are really important things, these I should do's. They're preventative, right? If you've got to, let me put it this way. It's hot outside, right? The sun's out. You don't want to get sunburned. What do you have to do? What you should do is put on sunscreen, right? So it's preventative. It's also preparation. If you have a test, I should study for the test, right? These are things that help you accomplish those things, right? So they're preventative, and they're preparational, and they're needed. And they're really important. Like I said, other people are counting on you. This is also the area that you want to reevaluate what you're doing. Because you have the I must, and then you have the I should, but there's a lot of other things that can get in the way. So you need to start asking questions and reevaluating. Is this meaningful? Is this impactful? Is this helpful? Does this help move the goal along? Again, A plus B equals C. So you're wanting to know what it is that is impactful that other people are depending on, right? I should do this. All right. Next is your third priority. Again, we're talking about goals, and we're talking about taking those goals and putting them in the priority, the order that they should go, so that you can accomplish the vision, right? One stone after another, building on the other. So on these, I would like to do. Now, these kind of take on more of a personal nature. This is where you can kind of get creative as well. These are the kinds of things that people find more desirable. I mean, they prefer to do them rather than have to do them, right? So your heart wants to do these things. And they're beneficial because somebody that wants to do something is somebody that's going to get it done, right? So think of it in terms of that. And it's always good when it's possible. It's beneficial, it's gratifying, and it goes beyond. Like somebody that wants to do something, they're usually taking on an extra activity, right? Maybe an activity that you didn't have a volunteer for, right? That's the person that you slate to do this thing because they have a heart for it. They have a passion for it. They want to do this. The fourth priority would be any of those things I might do, right? The might do's are if I have time, if I can fit it into my schedule, if it works with my family, if it does what it needs to do. It's not just something that's wasteful, necessarily. And these are optional. Typically, on these I might do things, you're not going to have external pressures or people pulling on you to get this thing done, right? It's just something that's an extra thing. So this right here, this is where a lot of people fall through the cracks. So managing expectations. Here we have our own expectations that we try to manage, and we have other people's expectations that we are trying to manage. And whenever, especially, you're working in a team, this is a critical piece. And a lot of things, a lot of teams, this can make or break a team. Okay? So some key things to think about. When I'm thinking about my own expectations, I'm also thinking about the character that I want to have. I want to be full of integrity and intent. And when I say that, what I mean is that I only make commitments that I have a reasonable capability of meeting. I have the intent of keeping that thing that I promised to do, basically. And persons of integrity have courage to act out of their commitment. And all of this is because they're based and driven out of their values. Right? They have a value to be a person of integrity. They have a value of being a person that if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. Right? So that's a value to me, to be dependable, to be reliable. Right? So some of these things are driven out of your values still. And then God gives us the drive, the energy, the passion, the grace to do some of these things as well. So when we're managing our own expectations, there's a very clear and fine line where at some point, instead of ours, it's other people's expectations. And on the negative side, which is all too often the case, people like to project their expectations on us. Sometimes there are unspoken rules, if you will. And what I mean by that, think about it this way. You're driving in a car, right? Somebody cuts you off, and you're unhappy, and you're like, where's the policeman? He should have pulled him over. He should have gave him a ticket. You're all indignified. You know, it's all very upsetting. And you just put basically these set of unspoken rules on this other driver, right? Your expectation was that this driver was supposed to follow the rules. Why? Because you're following the rules, right? So that's kind of an example of unspoken expectations, all right? And where we seem to fail, one of the biggest things here in managing expectations is communication. This is where teams break down. Teams break down because of miscommunication, because they're not actively listening to one another, right? So I'm going to break down like four key things and how to help manage expectations. And like I said, communication is one of those. If you're in a team, one of the things that happens is a lot of time tasks are delegated, right? But if we don't communicate like what our expectations are on that task and of that person, a lot of times that person will fall short because they don't understand everything that's required for that task or role that you've given them. You have to have very clear communication in the sense of what is, let's say you have a task, what is the time frame for this task? Now I'll give you an example. I work in human resources and I do payroll for a company. They hire pipeline inspectors for oil and gas companies. Now, at any one time I'm doing payroll, I'm dealing with an invoice for billing purposes. I'm also supporting three office personnel, the CEO, the owner, operations manager. I might be taking in a phone call because somebody has a question about a pay stub. I might be taking in a phone call for something else. So I'm managing all of this when one of them walks in and hands me another project, right? So my communication has to be, this is what I'm doing now. Thank you for this. When would you like this done? What time frame? How important is it? Where is it in the cog of everything I'm doing that in case I need to shift my priorities, right? If it's a number one priority, then I have to table what I'm doing to do that. But I don't know that unless I ask that, right? We always assume that the person giving us something is always going to tell us everything we need to know. That's not always the case. But on the other side, we have to be actively listening to what they are saying. Things to think about when you're communicating, when you're actively listening, you're not listening to interject your own agenda, right? You are listening to their tone, their intensity, their instructions, and in some of that, you should be able to get what they expect. And if they don't, that's okay. That's where you ask questions. And you try to be as thorough as you can about your questions. Again, time frame, what priority, what is needed, what am I missing, you know, all of these things, right, for communication. The next thing on managing expectations, too, is boundaries. This is another area where teams fall short on boundaries, right? You have a team lead and you have somebody panicking and they're calling at midnight because they're missing a piece and they're expecting you to help them out through it, right? Boundaries, people sharing information that really isn't pertinent to anything. They just want to be a sounding board for their complaints. I mean, that's a boundary issue, right? So defining clear boundaries about what is expected and what is not expected, what is good behavior, what is bad behavior, and being able to just speak freely about what is expected in a peaceful and humble way. The other thing would be quality. The excellence in our lives is a matter of balance. You know, I don't want to just do something half-hearted or a poor job. I'm interested in bringing something with quality, and that takes time. And that also takes understanding what it is that that person is looking for. So again, part of that communication, finding out everything that you can and not making any assumptions on it. Okay. Lastly, tyranny of the urgent. A lot of people consider what they consider emergency is not necessarily what somebody else considers an emergency. And now I have one of my sons has considerable heart issues. If he has an issue, then we drop everything and we go. We go to the hospital. There's no questions asked. We just do it. That is an urgent matter. My other son, however, if he gets a hangnail, it's, you know, and you just, it's okay. You're going to be fine. And everything's all right. You just, everybody is different. And so you learn through spending time with people what's important to them, what's important to you, and you help shape and mold their behavior by your reactions to them, by your communication to them, by your boundaries to them. And so you start managing these tyranny of the urgent and teaching people how not to always be urgent when that's not necessarily an urgent matter, okay? So next I'm going to talk about taking inventory and how much time it takes to accomplish a certain task. And so I kind of alluded to this earlier when you saw the pie chart. So one of the things you can do is you can take a time log, and like I said, you want to capture the small things, the middle things, the big things, and actually write down how much time you're spending doing these things. Now, if you were a nutritionist and somebody walked into your office and said, hey, I want to do this new diet, I need help, you know, what is the first thing they're going to ask you to do? They're going to ask you to take a spiral notebook and write down every single thing that you put in your mouth for an entire week. And then go back to their office so that they can review what it is that you ate, right? And some of us would be surprised, like, oh yeah, I had that Snickers at 3 o'clock, I didn't count that, right? But it's the same way with our time. You would be shocked at the things you end up spending a lot of time on that aren't consequential to anything else that you need to do, that have nothing to do with your values and your goals. It's not to say that you don't have everyday mundane things that enter in your life. It's just to say you need clarity about where all your time is going, right? And the only way to do that is to evaluate it. So next, we've got short-term or long-term. Now, when you're evaluating your time and you're managing expectations, again, this goes along with communication. Like, is this project a short-term project or a long-term project? We'll put an inspector on a pipeline, and that job might be only for 3 months. So I have an expectation that in 3 months, we're going to need to place him somewhere else again, right? Or he might file unemployment. So you know based on the jobs and the communication and the different projects that you're doing that they might be short-term or long-term. So when you're looking at your goals, remember one of those stepping stones. Is it a short-term goal? Is it a long-term goal? You know, if it's a team goal, it might be a year's goal. So what goals lead up to that year, right? And then prioritize in order how to get to that point where you're finished and you've reached your goal. Planning is really pretty much what it is. Planning, right? It's the how, the when, and the where, right? Asking the right question, preparation, thinking also of when you're serving and who you're serving, right? Sometimes we're so busy in meetings and things like that that we forget who we're serving. And if we would get in the shoes of the people that we're serving and really start to think about what their needs are, then we can manage their expectations as well as ours too, because then we're not just thinking about our own needs. So managing expectations is not just always about us. It's about other people and looking at what they need and what they're going through. Remember, everybody has a story, and you of all people know this because you all have stories yourself, right? You're all coming from, some of you from different cities, different states, that sort of thing, and you drove in here and you had an expectation of the things that you were going to hear and do and all of those things, right? And it took a lot of planning to make all of this work. Thank you, Sarah. All right, so then we have individual and team. That's pretty self-explanatory. You know, if you're when you're doing expectations, if you're leading or teaching or mentoring, just remember, you know, a lot of people want these individual roles, but just remember that accountability is all on you, right? It's typically not a shared accountability. It's all on you. So if there's a misstep, it's all on you. And a lot of people don't want to take that responsibility. So keep that in mind. You know, with small things, small expectations. With big things, bigger expectations, right? But that's why a team is a good fit for just about everyone, because you can take a supportive role, and some people have bigger roles than others, but you're there to support one another. Remember, you're all part of the body. We have different gifts. We have one body. Remember, the eye can't say, I don't need you anymore, and the foot can't say, I don't need you anymore. We need all of the parts in the body to work together. And Paul said, so we being many are one body in Christ. And so sometimes expectations, again, it's about the team and who's doing what role and understanding their role and your role. And I think, too, what I like about teams, too, is that you have the support. Sometimes we have things that come up. You know, we talked about the tyranny, the urgent, or things that come up. Sometimes you make relationships in a team that they come alongside one another, and they help bring each other along. So where somebody is weak, somebody who has a strength can come alongside and do it together, and then it gets accomplished. I think I went too fast here. Okay, last two things here. So on your expectations. So a good way to figure out where you are as far as managing expectations is, how do you feel right now? Are you feeling drained? Are you feeling re-energized? You know, if you're drained, if you feel overwhelmed, you're feeling pressure, you're feeling guilty because you can't get it all done. Maybe you're like me and you tend to say yes to everything, and you shouldn't be saying yes to everything. And or maybe you have like this fear and anxiety about stepping into the unknown, right? We have this, I've never done it before, I'm not sure how to do that, and that anxiety, that stress can drain us as well. Or instead of feeling pressure, maybe you're feeling challenged. Maybe this fuels you, you know? And what I like to say, too, is that whether you're being drained or re-energized, it also affects your perspective, your point of view. If you're drained, you're narrow, and you can only see right here, right now, in the present. And it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. You're just kind of inward focused. Whereas if you're being re-energized and you're excited and you want more and you're waiting for the next opportunity and you see wins, like anytime you see a win, what? You're hungry for more, right? You want another one and another one, right? Well, then you seem to get a bigger view, right? A wider view, and you get a bigger picture of the vision that's happening because you're making another win and another win, and you're reaching your goal. You feel like you're moving forward, right? I heard this illustration about a lion. And has anybody been to the circus and seen a lion tamer go into the cage with a lion? No? Okay. So I've only seen it on TV. I've not witnessed it in person, but I can rest assured that I would never be caught in a cage with a lion that's ferocious and going to eat me, right? And I've always marveled at the fact that these trainers walk in with just a few things, right? It's just maybe a whip and a chair. And you see them walk in, and I'm like, why have they got the chair? Well, they're not going to sit on the chair and wait for the lion to eat them, right? No, what they do is they take the chair, and they've got the stools pointed at and thrusting at the lion's face. I'm like, they really think that that's going to stop the lion from eating them? It just, you know. But what they say is that the lion gets so focused on trying to look at all four legs or three legs of the stool that it starts to become weak. It becomes tame. And it's almost like it becomes disabled and it's just kind of paralyzed because it's so focused on trying to focus on all four legs at the same time. It's lost sight of the trainer and it's lost sight of the chair because it's all fragmented now. Its vision is totally fragmented and focused and confused. And that's how we are when we have too much to do and we're overwhelmed, right? We get fragmented and nothing gets done. So the last one here, interruptions and time stealers. Like I said, some of these things were areas where I see teams fall on the time management I'm spending more time with, obviously. Interruptions and time stealers. Well, the person seeking attention. I can tell you every time I'm in some team, there is somebody that wants to talk about their mother, they want to talk about the flight they had, you know, or just in things like that. So you need to learn how to refocus and redirect people. Again, when you sit into a team or in a meeting, you're talking about expectations. You want to be up front and say, hey, this meeting's going to be an hour long. We're not going to have time to do this. If you want to talk about, get together personally and talk about that, or if you want to ask me questions about something else that's not on this topic, come see me afterwards. You know, you make time for those people if they ask for it, but there's nothing wrong with redirecting people and getting them back on task. Okay, but as far as my explanation for what you can do with interruptions and time stealers, one of my key things is have a plan B. Have a plan B. Just know that life happens. Just know that emergencies happen. Like you can plan for an outside venue and the weather comes in and here comes a tornado. There's not a whole lot you can do about that, right? So have a plan B. If you can't have something outside, plan B is to have something indoors, and you've got a plan of attack ready if that happens, right? Next would be ask for help. Just like in a team situation, if you know that you have medical issues coming up or you have an unexpected thing, if you build relationships within your team and start understanding and cross-training and learning each other's roles and how to help one another, then you'll easily have people that willingly will come alongside you and help you out. So have a plan B and ask for help. And then I'm going to tell you, turn it off. Does anybody know what I mean by turn it off? Right? What do we admittedly spend too much time doing? Social media? TV? I stayed up too late. I had a midnight snack. Right? Or what about this? Maybe we set unrealistic timetables to begin with. Or maybe we over or underestimated our ability to get something done. Right? Some of these cost interruptions into the whole plan of things, the scheme of things, our strategy for things. And we waylay ourselves half the time more than it is other people. Right? So again, when you evaluate your time, you better mark that puppy down. When you say that you had a midnight snack, write it down. I was 5 minutes doing that, or I was an hour on my phone on Facebook, or I was, you know, whatever it is. I was Snapchatting, whatever everybody does nowadays. I don't even know. My kids have to tell me. But whatever it is, mark that time down and then look at it. See where you're spending your time and make those adjustments. One of the other things that causes interruptions and time stealers is cognitive dissonance. Now, cognitive dissonance is knowing the right thing to do and not doing it. I am a master at that because I know that I might have to write a report, but I can spend time cleaning my house, which is a thing I should do. It might not be the must do, but I should do it. But I will find ways to work around it until sometimes I procrastinate to do that report. All right, you get the idea? So again, some of these interruptions and time stealers, are things that we do to ourselves, right? There's always going to be health issues. There's always going to be uncontrollable things out of your hands. But if you have a plan B and you make relationships and you learn how to adjust the schedule you have, meaning adjust those things that you cost yourself, then you'll avoid those interruptions and time stealers and put them at a minimum. Okay? Now, administrative skills, we can reduce the anxiety related to important tasks by being prepared. Most of the anxiety we have is because we're not prepared, right? We forgot that report, or we missed something, or we were late, or whatever it is. So I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because a lot of these are self-explanatory. Organization, that just refers to your teams. Organize your teams. Organize your goals. Use your priorities to set your goals in order, right? Organize the people doing roles, doing tasks. Organize your time and how it takes to do those sort of things. and make lists. My husband makes list after list, right? He makes too many lists because I can't find some of his lists. But lists are helpful, and a lot of people use their phones now. Again, some of these are self-explanatory, your calendars. Delegate. If you're in a role that's leading or you're leading several other people, what can you give away? If you're the yes person, that doesn't mean you have to do it all. Managing doesn't mean you do it all. What can you give away? All right? Resources, too. I'm going to skip database there because that's pretty much a known. But your resources. Part of that is actually taking accountability for what you have. Take stock of what you need and what you already have. That includes education. That includes skill. That includes talent. That includes knowing what your people have a knack for and being able to plug and play them where necessary, right? Which also goes along with delegation. Plan ahead. That's pretty easy, right? We use all of these tools, and we actually spend time planning it instead of waiting and showing up in the event to do it, all right? Again, communication. One of the things I'll say about communication, far too often in teams, we don't say what a win looks like. You want to tell people what a win is, and you want to celebrate that win with them, okay? You know, I don't want to focus totally on the negative there, but that's a big piece that we don't often do. And then utilize people. Utilize people for the right gift, for the right role. That's another place where team people break down, is people are in the wrong roles. You know, I don't sing. You would not find me leading worship at any time. You know, I mumble. That's it, right? I'm good at other things, so I strive to or tend to go towards those other things. Like I do a lot of hospitality stuff, so I'll do the hospitality stuff and let the singer sing, right? We all have gifts. We all have talents. I have the saying in my house that says, when I stand before the Lord, I don't want to have anything left. I want to be able to say that I used every talent, every gift, every skill, all for Him. So that day, you know, that day that you meet Him, I have nothing. I used everything you gave me, Lord. Right? That's what we want to do. So next, how do you? So I want to spend a little bit more time here and say, you know, in order to manage yourself effectively, you have to have your inner you in order, right? You need to have the inner you in a condition that brings peace and satisfaction in your life in order for you to move to the external. What's the external? The things other people want you to do, right? There's a book called The Deeper Journey. It's by Mulholland. And I'm going to read you two quotes. And he's talking about one of the ways about tending to the inner you. It says, "The life hidden with Christ in God is one of such growing union with God in love that God's presence becomes the context of our daily life. God's purposes become the matrix of our activities. And the values of God's kingdom shape our life and our relationships. God's living presence becomes the ground of our identity, the source of our meaning, the seat of our value, and the center of our purpose." Right? Then next he talks about actually turning ourselves towards the Lord. He says, "By quiet, persistent practice in turning of all of our being, day and night, in prayer, and inward worship and surrender toward Him who calls in the depths of our souls. Mental habits of inward orientation must be established. An inner secret turning to God can be made fairly steady after weeks and months and years of practices and lapses, of failures and returns." Basically, what he's saying is that it's a journey, right? All of these visions, all of these goals, all of these activities in our life really mean nothing if we don't have God leading us and being our center and us turning towards Him, right? He helps organize the inner us. He helps us realize our vision and values come from Him. right? He feeds us, and we feed off of everything that he gives us, right? He's the living word, the living bread. He quenches our thirst when we are thirsty. I mean, he is all of those things. And when everything's chaotic and when everything's all over the place, what do we need to do? Go back to the center. Go back to the start. Go back to being quiet and go back to going right before him and saying, God, I need you. I need your help. Show me what it is. Sometimes it's like chaos, right? And you can't hear for all the chaos, right? You can't hear the bird chirping because the radio's going. And we need to shut off the radio, and we need to get quiet, and we need to spend time listening to him, right? And he's also talking about how this is a practice of a lifetime, a practice of a journey. Every little bit is like a life soaking. Like if you could talk about how your life with Jesus could be, I like to think about soaking in a bathtub. Like I want to soak every part of it in, right? Even if I only have 5 minutes in the morning to read something, to read some verses, like I usually read a couple chapters in Psalms, I pray, then I go about through my day. Then I'm listening to Christian music, Christian worship music mainly. You know, I'm going to service. I'm listening to a podcast from somebody that I'm really interested in. You have to have a lifetime of inward feeding, right? You are responsible for you. You can't expect somebody else to feed you. You're grown-ups. You're adults, right? And so if you're tired, if you're drained, part of it may be because you're not taking the time to rest in the Lord. And so this is that part of managing the inner you before you can even help somebody else, right? Which is kind of what the next one says. If we run ourselves to the ground or exhaust all our resources, we will no longer be in a position to help others. If we run ourselves this way, we will always have problems that crop up. They will be our interruption. They will be our time stealers. Because we will always be constantly distracted by these things because we have no peace, right? So we're trying to put out fires, and it's crisis management, right? We're managing by living from crisis to crisis rather than by living and having things managed in a manageable and a reasonable level that all of us can survive, right? I mean, life is busy. Let's not... You know, we don't have to simplify that. We just know that life is busy, and we are constantly being asked to do this or do that. But we always need to be able to be sure that we are in the right place and the right mind. And if we're not, then we need to take stock, and we need to step aside and pull back and recenter ourselves with the Lord. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." There's an illustration about a young girl driving to work. And she's driving to work, and all of a sudden her car stops working, and she pulls off. She's in a panic. She calls her manager because she's like 2 miles away from the office. And, can you get me? I'm stranded, you know. So the manager goes and meets her where her car is off the side of the road. And he's asking the girl, "Well, did you run out of gas? What happened?" "Well, no, I filled up with gas on my way right after I left the house on the way to work." "Well, okay." So the manager knows nothing about cars, and he's like, "Well, did it make any kind of noises or anything before it stopped working?" "Oh, yeah, it was vroom, 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 boom, and it stopped," right? And the manager's thinking, "Well, I don't know what would cause that, you know." "And, well, when's the last time you changed the oil?" And the little girl looks at him and goes, "Oil?" Engines will blow up if you do not change the oil. She had owned the car a year and a half and never changed the oil. So I don't care how new you are or how old you are in Christ. If you're not changing your oil, if you're not checking the temperature, you're going to burn out. It's that simple, right? So it tells you how important it is to keep your engine running, to have that inner you working, and to have that relationship with Jesus working. And also to have a team relationship where you can go to safe people and say, "Hey, I'm having an issue here. I need time. There's too much going on, or I'm overwhelmed. This is part of the communication, right? People don't know necessarily what you're going through unless you tell them, right? A lot of people don't go around fishing for information. And because we're great at being multitaskers, we're also great when somebody says, "How are you?" Go, "Fine, I'm fine." Because we don't want to get into it. We don't want to be vulnerable, right? Sometimes we need to be vulnerable. Sometimes we need to be truthful to ourselves and to the others around us that, hey, I need help. Okay? It's okay to ask for help. So then next I'd say, how is your attitude? When how do you, what would your attitude, what would you say it is? Are you humble? Are you prideful? Are you peaceful? Or when you're in a meeting, are you critical? Ask yourself, am I teachable? Am I flexible? Am I hungry? Do I really care? Ask yourself. Again, it's another temperature check on your oil gauge, right? So next, we kind of talked about this already, but you want to take time for direction. You want to take time for reflection and guidance. You want to be attentive to yourself. You want to be attentive to what the Lord is saying to you, right? You have a lot of people telling you what to do sometimes. What is the Lord telling you to do, right? Sometimes in that place where we need to take time for ourselves to work on that inner part of ourselves, we need to seek advice from safe people. And most of us know what I mean by safe people, but you know, if you need counsel, if you need advice, you don't go to that person that's being critical of you already because you're trying to win a popularity contest. You go to that person that you trust, that you know that will pray, that you know will turn you back to Jesus, right? All right. And next would be assessing your talents, your gifts, and your skills. Now, this is where I talked about plug and play. A lot of us, because we work with teams, again, there are tests out there. There are assessments out there so that you can take your DISC test. You can have a values done and an attributes index done. Those are very good for teams in the sense of you can find out who that shy person is, although you can pretty much tell in a group setting, and who that dominant person is. But you can also tell these things like what are their values? What are their skill sets? Are they learners? Do they have a high value for helping the process along? And a lot of times it's good to build on teams that need to complement each other, right? You don't want a team of yes men. You want a team of thinkers. You want a team of doers. You want a team of encouragers. You need all of those different kinds of skill set, not just the ability to sing music, but the ability to get along with others, to form a team that actually can mobilize and work on these goals and prioritize and take on a task and do it, right? So next is opportunities. What I want to say here is don't despise the small beginnings. The reason I say that is when I first started doing any ministry at all, I actually would clean the sanctuary. I used to go back in the back of the chairs and straighten up the cards. You know, they'd give a tithing card, and there'd be a visitor card, and there'd be a pencil or a pen, that sort of thing. And I remember just cleaning up cups and stuff like that and straightening out the cards. And it occurred to me that, you know, I could start praying while I'm doing this. So I started praying over each chair that I went to as I was straightening things out. And just kind of from that point on, things started building up. And it just like being faithful in the small things, God is going to bring you into bigger things then, right? So don't despise small beginnings. If you're in a team and you're in a group and you're getting this little tiny role, don't despise it. Think about your integrity and intent again. Think about your character. Think about others. Think about the people that this team is serving to begin with, right? It's not all about you, right? So don't miss on that opportunity to do even the small things. And then as far as opportunities go, especially if you've been doing ministry for quite some time, Sometimes instead of always trying to put yourself forward, it's time to take a look back. Try to mentor others. Try to bring other younger people into the fray, into the workforce. Remember the workers a few and the harvest as many? Yeah, I'm not saying it right, but you get the idea, right? The harvest is full and the workers are few, right? And that's what IFI is so good at. You guys are so good at seeking these students out, right? Not just to join you, but to make a difference in their life, right? That's the whole point of IFI, is to be meaningful and impactful in their lives, because you want them to bring them into Jesus. You want to build relationship with them, because why? They're going to turn around and go back to their countries and do the same. And you're making them leaders. You're discipling them along, right? So like I said, all of these things are stepping stones, right? One thing leads into the other. And so instead of me telling you how to organize your life, all I can really do, because I'm not living your life, is give you keys to look at these stones. Like I said, the goals. What goals really relate to your values and vision, right? When you have your goals, what priority do they need to be done in? You need to start looking at that. And then when you look at your priorities of those goals and the priorities of how you need to do what you need to do to accomplish those goals, what do I need to spend my time doing? What do I need to not do? What do I need to say no to? Right? Only you are in charge of your time. Nobody else can tell you. Oh, they can tell you all you want, but the fact of the matter is you live your life the way you do, right? Not what they do. The last piece I have here is actually from a podcast that I heard. I don't know if any of you have heard of Alistair Begg. He's a Scottish gentleman, really gifted speaker, really, really intuitive. And he talks about daily bread. And you know how the Lord's Prayer says, give us our daily bread? Well, when he talks about that, he goes back to Exodus 16 then. And he talks about how Moses led the people out to the desert in the wilderness, right? And that God provided manna for every single day. But there were stipulations on that manna. In other words, they could collect manna for the meals that they needed for that day for 6 days in a row. Then on the sixth day, they were supposed to go ahead and gather for the seventh day, because they would not be collecting on the Sabbath, right? However, there are some that didn't follow the rules. God was saying, no doggy bags. You just take what you need for that meal, right? And there were some that still didn't listen. And they would hoard those resources and those things. And then the very next morning, what would happen? They'd be totally rotten, like really, really badly rotten, like smelly rotten, right? With stuff in it, and you had to throw it away, right? But the idea was that there were lessons there. He was trying to teach them a daily dependence on God. He was trying to teach them to rest. And he was trying to show them that their lack of faith in him would only bring disobedience. Right? He wanted them to trust not in the provision, but in the provider. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you, and grace will abound to you. And in James 2, it talks about faith in deeds, right? We can have all of this action and no faith and have a bunch of dead works. Or we can do a bunch of stuff and be really good at it, but if we don't have faith, it fails too. So it's both and, not one or the other, right? So I wanted to take time, because we're getting close to time, and just ask if there's anybody that would like to do ministry time. I'd like to kind of spend the last few minutes, and I don't really have, I think I have one other, I just have some resources and that sort of thing. And if you want to contact me at the end of class, I can email you this presentation so that you won't have to find these things on your own. I also brought some books for you to look at, which are suggested reading. But anyway, there's a sermon calendar. There's ways of helping you organize, and there's some free resources for you to do so, too. And then some books. I have a couple books with me, too, that are really good as far as helping you with your devotion time, helping you with your time management, and things like that. And then these are just some verses that go back to learning how to trust in the Lord and recognizing that, you know, ultimately God is in control, right? We can make our own plans, but it's God's plans that last throughout the generation, right? It's God's plans that matter. And so that's why we need to center on Him and find out what He wants. So really, I don't know, Astera, how much we want to do this with recording, but... Okay, great. So does anybody have any questions for me or based on what they saw? Or maybe you have a concern. Maybe you feel like I didn't touch on something and you have a question about that? No? Okay. Does anybody feel like they're in that place where maybe they are overwhelmed? Maybe you got a lot of expectations on you or you feel like you're doing too much and maybe you're like, I'm not sure that... You know, this is everything I'm supposed to be doing. If that's you, I mean, we want to pray for you, you know. Or maybe you're feeling drained. Maybe you've really kind of lost sight of yourself for all these other things that you're doing too. Because God wants to call you back. He wants to let you know that He loves you and He cares about you. And that you don't ever have to do another thing for Him to not love you. He loves you no matter what. If you never did another thing in ministry, He would love you. Right? It's not about all that you're doing. It's about who you are in Him and how much He loves you and how much He cares about you. Right? We learn these things. These are some of these things are mundane, but some of us are stuck in life because we worry about all of these things. And sometimes we worry because we are people of integrity and intent, because we want things to matter. What we want to do well, right? And we want it to matter, and we want it to be impactful and meaningful for others. And sometimes we fall short of that. And a lot of times it's because we've lost sight of our own identity and our own role in Jesus, right? And a lot of times, you know, another aspect is sometimes we let the role be our identity. We put too much stock in it. And a lot of times when that happens, I see a lot of people end up having to shut down for a while and figure it out, right? It's all about refiguring it out with Christ. So I'd like to do ministry time. Is there anybody we could pray for, or if you want to just get in a group and pray? I see nodding heads. Just for the record, they're nodding. Okay.
Yeah, I think it would be great for you, right? I work with Table and I'm working with community college. I do go around sometimes. I do see the minister in my church. In the sense, I'm not conveying all that I need to our volunteers. I'm not empowering them to come on, and then they're just on the doing, and I'm like, how do we together? How do we encourage? Mm-hmm. And am I spending enough time with students that are meeting, and how do we find this? And they actually want to learn about God. And so preoccupied with that I'm really just for the need and just pray and find rest in that. So the priorities for me are, I know what is the priority, but I'm very kept on the busy. Mm-hmm. This is very good to just really focus on the priorities. But my prayer request is that for first coming, that would be that really just drawing from God and to remember to strengthen the inner being.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, anybody else? Yeah?
And it's not necessarily the lack of sleep, it's just the tiredness of the weight of the role. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes I think I'm so glad that we do these weekend, I think, with something like, oh, no, no, you got it, Steph. No. We spent 2 hours this morning, or what, 3 hours on all the ministry, and Ohio, and we've seen everyone. Everyone has come, everyone has mentioned, everyone has grown up. And how can one person handle all of that? And I want to do a good job. I want to do my part to do every ministry. When do I take care of myself?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, you know, Moses had this problem. You know, he's in the wilderness and he has all these people, and it was his father-in-law Jethro that came to him and said, "You need to delegate. You need to find people that are good at certain things and put them in charge and let them run with it." Right? They report back to you, but you put them in charge of teams. Right? So even Moses had his issues, right? So, anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out in case you want prayer for anything. Yeah?
Yeah, I would love prayer as well. Just kind of all the things that have been said. My capacity is not nearly what Astera's is. My workload is like minuscule compared to Cinder, and yet I do feel at times overwhelmed. I think it's, I don't know, sometimes I wonder. You know, there's that often that sense of being drained, just not having the emotional resilience to keep going, you know? And I want to find that in Christ himself.
Okay. So several of the things that I'm hearing then, just so that the recording captures that, is that one, the sense of being drained. Two, the sense of being overwhelmed with how much responsibility there is out there and how much there is to do. Even if you're leading and even if you have teams, it's still a process and draining to manage those teams. And then just being able to prioritize and really hit on the things that you know that are important that maybe you feel like you're not getting the time you would desire to touch on those things. Did I capture everything? Okay.